Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I have two incredible guests today. Their names are Stanley Padgett and Pam Jordan. Now, let me ask you guys something up front. So a lawyer and an accountant walk into a bar. What's the punchline?
I'm a pastor's wife, and he's a Mormon, so I'm going to get drunk, and he's going to walk me home.
Woo-hoo! Sounds like a party I want to come to. So, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Brian.
Having fun.
So, Stan, you are a lawyer, and Pam, you are an accountant. And me being of business ilk for over 40 years, I've dealt with both of you kind of guys, but not everybody may have all of their I's dotted and T's crossed, and they may have their shoebox filled with receipts and maybe could use a little business advice. So that's what we're here to do today, is kind of introduce them. But before we get to that, can you kind of give me each your story? I mean, how did you get into law? How did you get into accounting? I mean, did you have a calculator as a little kid? Did you like wearing robes and gavels? And how did that all start?
Pam, you first.
So I thought I was either going to be in a hut in Africa as a missionary or in a corner office. And I tried the nonprofit route and decided it was not how I wanted to go. So I jumped in corporate, had lots of fun, saw the ups and downs. Got over 15 years of working with small businesses, and I now have a fractional CFO firm that I run that we help do all the executive financial stuff that you need, regardless of what size you are, profit and loss, cash flow, budgets, all those things that business owners don't care about, but I love.
Well, somebody's got to love it. So how about you, Stan?
I always wanted to be a lawyer, but primarily because when I was a kid, I thought it looked to me like all the presidents were lawyers, and that was the best way to be president. I now don't want to be president. It's okay.
Okay.
But, I still wanted to be a lawyer because it just was always interesting to me. I graduated from Duke Law School in 1982. I've been practicing as a business trial lawyer in Tampa for the last 37 years. I have represented business owners in virtually every kind of case that you can imagine. So I've seen every kind of screw up they make. And I realized that they're very common patterns of things that they do wrong. And if I could teach them how to avoid those problems, it would be far more valuable to them and far less expensive than me having to hire me to get them out of trouble later. So that's why Pam and I teamed up, so we can keep business owners out of trouble.
See, that's awesome. And having run businesses for over 40 years, I've seen a lot, but I haven't seen everything. So, you know, there are certain things that have happened to me over the years that I've made, you know, dumb mistakes and, you know, I've gotten sued. One thing I've learned a long time ago was get a good accountant, because they're going to help you save more money than you're going to spend in the long run. So, but you guys have a kind of a system put together, and we're going to talk about five quick things today. And it's five kind of startup problems or secrets that people need to know about. So the five things that you guys told me about, number one, were bad advice, handshake deals, something about a piggy bank, something about control, and then some hiring mistakes. So I'll let you guys take to it. So why don't we start with the bad advice? Because, you know, nobody in business has ever gotten bad advice from their brother-in-law, right?
Well, they've never gotten bad advice from Google or anywhere on the internet. Or sadly enough, a lot of people, when they want to start a business, actually go to CPAs. And what they get is a lot of bad legal advice. So the number one proposition is start your business out sound, build it on a firm foundation, and then when you make money, you can grow it as big as you want. We see a lot of people build businesses completely wrong because they get bad advice. And you can't get answers off the internet. You can find 20 different answers to the same question, and probably 19 and a half of them are wrong.
Those are pretty bad odds. So Pam, how about you? You got anything to add to that?
So yeah, to Stan's point, a lot of people start out when they make start a company, they're like, oh, well, I'll just go to my CPA or I'll ask my uncle what kind of corporate structure and tax structure I should choose. And then 5-10 years down the road, someone like Stan and I walk in and we're there to broker a deal. And we start digging and we realize they have the complete wrong legal structure. They're been paying double the taxes for the last 10 years. And it takes us longer to get them set up correctly so we can take them to the next level. So when you set up your company, you need to get advice from someone who can ask you what your goal is, because very often a CPA will say, oh, you want to be an Inc. and an S Corp to save on taxes, but there's lots of other options that in many cases can be better, especially if you're looking to scale and exit.
Gotcha. So going online and getting LegalZoom because they advertise on TV is not what I should be doing?
No.
That's a simple answer.
Yeah.
All right. So handshake deals. I like shaking hands, you know, and I'm not a politician and I don't want to be a politician, but what's wrong with handshake deals?
All right. I grew up in the South too, and you like to be able to do business with people based on their word. I will just tell you that it doesn't work. And it especially doesn't work when you're setting up a business. You know, you and a friend are saying, hey, we've got this great idea. Let's go into business together. We'll own 50-50 and it'll all work. Well, two things. It really doesn't matter whether the business goes really well or really poorly, or simply that your own, the objectives of the two people change over time. When you don't write down what the deal is, in the law, we call it convenient memory. It just, people tend to remember things that favor them and they can't remember anything that doesn't. So your deals need to be in writing. Your agreements at the beginning need to be in writing, because a business, just like a marriage, the day you start, everybody's really happy. But the only thing uglier than a regular divorce is a business divorce. And when there are no documents, it's not only ugly, it's really expensive.
Right. Well, and one of the other things I think that people have to be aware of is, getting contracts and things like that. I've ran into a problem, and this is just something I came across a while ago, is I had a company come in, and this is when I owned my recording studio, and they came in, they did $500 worth of work, and they paid me immediately. Then they came in and started doing more work, and they ran up a bill of about $5,000, didn't pay a penny. And I went through the process of, oh, okay, you know, well, I'm going to sue him. So I went and sued him, and we won. We won half, $2,500, and my lawyer cost me $2,600. So it cost me $100 and 100 hours to basically get nothing. Because, you know, what can you do to avoid something like that? Is it, you know, is there a smart way, Pam, to get paid? Is there any other way that we should be looking at stuff?
Sure. As an accountant, I have a lot of customers in the construction world. Mm-hmm. And what happens is I see a lot of handshake deals where a contractor hires a sub to go plant trees on their job site and everything's fine on day one. But on day 30, the trees are dying and the landscaper wants to get paid. But the contractor says, look, your trees are dying. And the whole thing comes down to nothing was in writing. So both of them are just stuck. Someone's got to replace the trees and the other one's not going to get paid. So the easy thing is write it down. Obviously, it's best if you can work with an attorney to put all the legal verbiage together, but at least have something in writing in regards to what the terms are, what services are going to be provided, and what the money exchange is going to look like and the timeline. Because to Stan's point, everything looks great up front, but once money gets involved, people turn into monsters, and what they said they were going to do is not what happens.
Mm. So the next point is something that's near and dear to my heart, bacon, the piggy bank. So what does bacon have to do with running a business?
Perfect. So we all want lots of bacon. We all want lots of money. We want a piggy bank that jingles full of money. The problem is a lot of businesses do not do a good job of separating their business expenses and money from their personal expenses and money. So a lot of times Stan and I come into companies where it's a cable company and they have a number of Camaros and they're trying to expense Louis Vuitton purses and Gucci clothing and multiple trips to the Caribbean. Okay, you need to have a clear line between your company's money and your money. If you want to go on those trips and make those purchases, write yourself a check out of the business account, put it into your personal account, and then go shopping. Because as an accountant, I'm trying to paint a picture of the how your company is doing and the health of it. And if it's all mixed together, it gets really messy, especially when it comes time to sell, because you're trying to tell me your company is worth $5 million, but it's only worth $1.5 million. And you're telling me, oh, well, it's because I've been expensing all of these things. And my boat is through there, my jet ski, and my, you know, my dog salary, and my nephew, and blah, blah, blah. You need to have a clear line of money that's business money and personal money.
Yeah, Brian, that is, the other problem is if you don't separate, keep a clear line of demarcation between your business assets and your personal assets, neither will the court when a creditor comes after your business. They will say, well, it was all one piggy bank, so we can get all of it, including yours. And especially the IRS. They're the 800-pound gorilla. Rule one, the IRS always wins. If you commingle, they'll come get it all.
And what's rule two?
The IRS always wins. Refer to rule one.
That's kind of what I thought. Yeah, you don't pull on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the all long ranger. And you don't mess with the IRS. So control. Everybody wants control. I like control. I like remote controls, but it's kind of hard to run a business remotely. So let's talk about control. What are we talking about there?
When we talk about controls and mistakes the business owner makes, it comes down to who in the company has control, who's holding the keys, who's in control of the passwords. As the business owner, you need to be the administrator on everything. You need to be able to access any of your information, your bank accounts, your accounting, your credit card, any software platform or any arrangement that you have, you as the business owner need to be able to get into it. Because very often, the like the office manager, she's been there for 10 years and Linda's just fabulous, but then all of a sudden she gets mad and leaves and you can't get into your own checking account because she was the only one with the password. Right now, I'm working with a company where the business owner wasn't the admin in his accounting software, nor his bank, and his in-house accountant got mad and left and went to a competitor, and now that business owner doesn't have access to any of his accounting data. He did get back the bank control, but the accounting data is gone. So as the business owner, be the administrator, because things can always happen and you don't want to be locked out of your own money.
Right. And I've heard, you know, numerous times of, you know, the minor embezzlements of credit cards, you know, where somebody will go, you know, somebody has a credit card and goes and buys that Louis Vuitton purse and makes it look like a business expense. And I've seen worse cases than that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Sometimes business owners wish it was only a Louis Vuitton. I know Stan has seen some large numbers walk out the door from a very dedicated, well-meaning employee, and all of a sudden you're out $250,000.
Wow. Stan, talk about that.
Brian, control also means something very different in the setting up of your business, especially if you've got multiple owners. Control is who is the person who ultimately gets to make the decisions? And if it's a 50-50 business, how do you break ties? What happens if you have even a successful business and there's only two of you, and now you're at odds on what ought to happen next? Normal answer is the law says you can dissolve, either of the partners can dissolve the business. So you can take a successful business and tank it because you didn't create a mechanism when you started to resolve disputes, to break ties, to make sure that, if, particularly if you're the one putting up most of the money for the business, that you have the ability to retain control of the business itself, not just the accounts, the software, and the money, but the whole business.
Mm-hmm. So what about hiring practices? I mean, we've talked about some nightmares where people have taken advantage, people have left, but what kind of things do people need to think about there?
The first one is don't hire family. Very often you start a business because you think you can do better than your last boss, and then your brother can help, or your cousin, or your wife is going to do your books. Well, as the company grows and the needs change, their skill set might not be the correct person anymore. And you don't want to have to fire them and have very awkward dinners or Thanksgiving. I'm working with a client now where his wife is in his company and he's struggling because he said, if it were anyone else, I would have fired them. But now that it's my wife, I'm stuck. So if they have a skill set and they can contribute, it's something to talk about. But you need to be very careful bringing in family members, because if it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well in all aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Stan, you want to talk about the phony?
I don't know about that one, but I would just say, hey, look, if part of the challenge of hiring is the cost of hiring the wrong person is enormous, not just in the things they don't, that they goof up, but the things they don't do well, or trying to fit the round peg in the square hole. Somebody who says they've got a great skill set, but it's not the one you need. Got to be very careful and very strategic about hiring, because it's a huge investment of your time and effort, training, teaching, introducing them to your clients. Your hiring practices also need to include, do you need non-competes? Do you need confidentiality agreements? Do you need non-disclosure agreements to make sure that they don't run off with your business? You teach them everything and then they take your clients and go.
And when you hire, you want to make sure that they are, in fact, who they say they are. And that if they say they're a nurse, you validate that they're a nurse. And they say they have some sort of license, you make sure they do, in fact, have that license. Because you don't need an employee treating your patients or putting insurance policies together, and they don't have the proper credentials.
What Ken's alluding to, Brian, is I had a physician client once who hired a nurse that seemed to be great, knew everything, did everything. Gave injections, treated patients for about a year and a half before they found out that it wasn't a nurse at all, had no credentials, had never been to school.
Wow. And of course, then they're liable for any malpractice, right?
Absolutely.
That can be painful on all levels. So the last question I have for you guys is, you know, somebody starting up a business, first and foremost, they're chances are they're coming from a corporate background. They're not, you know, coming out of the womb. If they are, I admire that, but that would be tough. But, you know, one of the things is this sounds, you know, it sounds expensive, but there's a cost of doing business. So, you know, with a scrappy startup, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. It's like, you know, if you're running you're working in a network marketing company, you know, I'm working for network marketing. I have no liability. I don't need to do all these things. You know, I'm just running a small little, you know, thing at a flea market. You know, I'm just selling a course online or doing something. I don't need to go down all this road. And I would assume you'd have different advice for all of that kind of stuff, right?
Go ahead, Stan.
If you're 12 years old and mowing lawns, yeah, you don't have to do any of that stuff. If you're starting a real business that you expect to provide significant income for you or your family, if you don't treat it like a real business, neither will your clients.
Nor will the government or the banks.
Mm-hmm. So, and we all know in order to make money, it takes money. So to really get there, you really do have to be on solid footing and try to avoid some of these mistakes. Because any one of these things could totally tank a business in one fell swoop. I mean, I had something, you know, even down to insurance, my recording studio was flooded by the building owner, and I had it in the basement, and it was flooded with raw sewage and shut me down for 3 months. And it put me into a financial tailspin I couldn't even imagine. And, you know, then I got sued by the owner for not paying the rent, even though I couldn't use the space.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it does take money to start up, but you need to calculate how much it's going to cost later on down the road. Because to hire Stan or myself or both of us to come in and clean up your mess, it will be thousands of dollars. So if you do it right from the get-go and you seek out good advice and good wisdom when you're starting, that's hundreds, not thousands.
So basically what you're saying is you guys are like a good sump pump. You invest in a good sump pump because it's going to pump the water out. It's going to cost you a little more, but you know, when it's all said and done, it's a lot cheaper than going in and having to replace all the wood and the carpet and everything in the basement, right?
Definitely.
Stan, anything to add to that, or was that too far of a reach?
No, that's not too far of a reach. I'm just thinking, as a lawyer, I've been accused of being a lot of things, but a sump pump was a new one. I'm giving you credit for that.
Well, thank you. You know, I always try to sink down to as far as I possibly can, but you know, I like, you know, we're in people's earballs, so I like them to imagine something. You know, it's like I've had a basement flood and it's not fun. So, you know, if you have that visual and you're thinking about your business, you never want your business to be underwater, right?
That's agreed.
There you go. So I'm sure my peeps would like to learn more because we only have a limited amount of time. But if they wanted to learn more, tell us about how they could learn about you and the kind of things that you've been talking about, because there's so many more things we didn't have time to cover.
Yeah. So we each have our own companies, but the company that we have together is called Enrich Your Elephant. So you can find us at enrichyourelephant.com. And we have a couple offerings there. One is a closed and private Facebook group where once a month we come in and we talk about a topic that's very relevant to business owners. And you also have Q&A with us. If you were going to hire us, it's $650 an hour. So this subscription gets you that access for a very small fraction of the price. And then we also have created a course called Startup Secrets that essentially gives you the roadmap of how to set up your company and how to build that strong foundation so you can avoid these five mistakes that we talked about. And it's not just telling you the different kinds of legal structures. We also explain the difference and make a recommendation as to which one we feel is going to be best for you in the long run. And if you want to find me personally, you can find me at PamJordanCFO.com.
Awesome. And Stan, if people wanted to follow you or get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They would do it. It's PagetLawPA.com.
Gotcha. And so I'm assuming you have all your social media links and anything if they wanted to follow you on LinkedIn or connect with you on Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah. Enrich Your Elephant is there. And Stan's legal practice is there. And then also my CFO stuff.
Well, thanks, guys. This has been not only fun and entertaining, but, you know, had a lawyer and accountant joke to start out. And it's great. I really appreciate you guys coming on and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps of what to avoid in starting up a business, or even, you know, somebody who's been at it for a while, they may not have thought about all these things. So great advice, great stuff. And I appreciate you and your time. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.